to also add 9% to the appreciation level as a department for the good presentation and work done. Chairperson, I have also noted a lot of
of number of the most students
pertaining to concerns and processes that are there, and well, where we are, more especially in the Eastern Cape or in many other places, where the community sometimes they are nothing, they don't run their streets to the police. For me, again, DJ, I think it's even more than that. I was happy when you talked of mega schools that we've done. My question is, where should we begin? We've seen, in some instances, where the schools have been managed. We've got complaints coming from the communities where sometimes we don't even, we're not able to provide even the learner transport to take those learners from school A and B. I'm not suggesting anything, but for me it's saying, where should we begin? Should we go and make sure that we have those schools managed and there are no schools like these mega schools where we are saying parents, school A, B and C is not functional due to 1, 2, 3, but this is what we are providing as the department, because we can attest to so many instances where these schools are managed. The issue of the transport is a problem to cater for these learners to move around. But for me, I still say maybe we need to be strategic enough. We need to find ways as to how these communities can be convinced as quickly as we close this school, but they are going to be taken care of. Always that talks again to the issue of rural education. We are happy, we are excited of the unit that we know has been opened, has been initiated by the department. But there are these issues against this year, which is not covered in the report, but we are going to be talking about them. Issues like the rural incentives. Where are we? If I can share with you, I was addressing in one province last week, the principals, where one thing that they raised sharply is to say, EDBE, not the provincial department, DBE is letting us down. When we talk of, I mean to say, maybe even sometimes the way in national EDBE talks past each other with the provinces, it creates a problem. Where the province would be saying, we know very well that EDBE is not giving us money for rural allowances, rural incentives, whereas they know very well that we are waiting rural. So, where are we with all these things? We are talking of rural department, the unit that is there, but even maybe the openness of what I'm talking about when we talk of these incentives. Because for me, all I would ever argue is to say when we think of only the financial part of it, we're not doing it. But as you go out there, you talk and engage with the teachers. That is the main thing that is there, is to say their salaries must, something must be added. Maybe as you are talking of the units, these are the things that are going to open up so that they will be open and engaged and see how the issue of rural education is being assisted. DG, the issue of QMTC, whenever we now engage the department, whereas, again, we are faced with these challenges in our communities, where we need these communities to own schools, whenever we go out, but I would wish to hear, as to say, do we still have such, if ever there are challenges, what are they? Because it's one thing that we're hoping and saying it's going to revive the communities, bring together all the stakeholders, all the to make sure that the education is being taken care of and where the communities do own the schools. On grants, the conditional grants, on the grant, what is it, Math Science and Technology, it's one grant where I didn't expect understanding when it comes to that.
Oh,
because of the challenges that you are faced with. Really, again, I would love to hear from you, DGF, to say what's the challenge there. I don't think it's not even that much. If we can't spend to that plant, whether the challenges are so huge, what is happening and what is it that is there to say in the future, we prioritize when it comes to that plant. Like, just like on the infrastructure. Let me make an example of the first stage where in some of your presentation of your document, it said that money was not transferred to the first stage, the conditional grant, the EIG. It was withheld. Yes, I fully agree, you cannot always pump funds where they are not utilized. But at the same time, we always say, when you talk of medical science, we talk on issues of infrastructure, those are the huge challenges we're facing with as a country, of which you begin to wonder then if ever we can still be told or we can still encounter the understanding on such. One way or the other, we need to come closer to this and to say, how do we put an end on this? Let us utilize what is there. It's not enough, but it's worse when we get the report that there's understanding when it comes to such. Lastly, from my side, I fully agree with the joint sitting on the social development. And also with the sport, though, DG, with the sport, we're taking several joint sittings when it comes to the development of sport. And I think all of us, as we are still raising this question, is because there is not much of the movement when it comes to that. We need to have a joint oversight committee with the movement of sport. I know those were the reasons why they're happy. I won't get into that one. Inasmuch, I fully agree, maybe I'll concur with Honorable Matthias when it comes to it. Inasmuch as we need them, but for me again, it should be also important as to say, how do we make sports involved within what is there within the basic education? Really, with all the engagements that we have had with them, we have never reached anywhere that much. But still, we can have that meeting, of which I don't know whether it should bear different fruits, but as we are saying, as it has been suggested, we try and feel that we have to do it, but really, just to encapsulate that love of sport within basic education, maybe we need to do something and see our... Yes, we fully agree, they do play a better match, but maybe to take it to another level, and understanding even all the challenges within even schools that do not have even the space for the playground. They don't even have those fields where our learners can play, but again, it's one thing that we'd love to prioritize to have them just to shape their blood and their bodies for them to be able to study well. On the very last one, maybe it's my ignorance, but let me expose my ignorance on this one. When you talk of this YCAP, the programs that are they programs that are not fire scale? What is this YCAP that you're talking about? Is that? Maybe let me expose my ignorance there. I'm not exactly sure about the YCAP that you're talking about, these youth programs that you are seeing, other than these four new week and so forth. Maybe it's something that I would learn from that. Did you may respond to you if you take the photo up?
Thank you. If you have allowed me to continue with the tradition, I'm going to request branch leaders to just come in and then come on site and then if you allow me. And I think this time around I will start with Dr. Mabuya.
The first question was around
I'm not used to
from the first one was around the training of 116 officials. So the breakdown thereof, we will provide that to members. Suffice to say that all the provinces were represented. Because normally when we conduct that type of training, then you would expect all the provinces to be represented. So that will be provided. I don't have the breakdown right now. And the second question was around connectivity to schools. Indeed, connectivity is our biggest challenge. And connectivity is very key, because even if you can have the best digital content, if you are not connected, then it's a problem, because you can't access that digital content. So we do have some challenges around connectivity. Connectivity, we do it under what we call the universal service and access obligation arrangement, which we have with our network operators, like your Vodacom, your Neotel, and MTN and others. So what is happening is that there is a policy that is called SA Connect, which belongs to the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. So unfortunately, in that policy, they have prescribed a very low connectivity speed. So we are in consultation with them. We do have interministerial meetings that we are attending, where we are pleading with this department, which is responsible for connectivity, to increase the speed. What I'm trying to also highlight here is that the issue of connectivity, internet connectivity, is not about the number of clusters or what, it's about the speed. If the speed is high enough, then we know that we can be able to cover everyone within the school. So currently that is the challenge that we are sitting with, but we are addressing this matter in this inter-ministerial committee, our committee that we have with different departments. The only problem so far which has got the speed that is sufficient is Western Cape, and simply because they are using Neotel. And Neotel is not operating in any other province. They are operating in Western Cape. So their speed at least does meet the educational requirements. So this is something that we are busy dealing with. The second one was around the issue of the grant, as to how did we manage to get the conditional grant for the implementation of this disability policy. Now, what we normally do, we would present to National Treasury our business plan. So it is on the basis of the business plan, we should make reference to that policy that we will be granted funding, which is what happened in this case. Yes, the policy is still out there, undergoing internal processes, but at the same time, we're able to come up with this business plan which was approved and we're able to secure the grant. The other question was around the how do we measure curriculum coverage. There are many ways in which we do it. Currently, we do not have a national curriculum coverage. We don't have that. But different provinces do have tools that they use to measure curriculum coverage. But over and above a particular tool that would measure curriculum coverage, there are many ways in which we also establish as to whether the curriculum has been covered sufficiently. For instance, when we do the analysis of the results, we go to the extent of even doing per item analysis of the results. And that is where we get even to discover that certain areas of the curriculum were not covered. Unfortunately, that normally comes towards the end of the year. Then the following year, we would then come, go back and say, try to address that particular gap today. If this particular area was not sufficiently covered, there are a lot of possibilities. It could be that it was late in the year. The other possibility is that the teacher might be needing training on those areas. So in our diagnostic report, we will then factor in all those issues. The print material that we referred to on page 13, this is around our advocacy program, where we run advocacy to popularize the very digital content that we have. Because to have digital content, for us what is important is the utilization thereof. So the advocacy program that we are running will be to say to people, be aware that we have digital content in respect of this particular subject. So when we run this program, we do it using different modalities, including print material, so that everybody can be aware that these are the list of digital content materials that we have, so that they can be able to use them. Do we have enough math teachers? I think, Honourable Member, this is the area that you will also have to factor in as and when we review the policy to check whether we do have enough math teachers who can be able to meet the requirement. For us to say the requirement of power pass requirement is at this level, then we should be able to look at that. I think it's common knowledge that we do not have sufficient. We might be having enough math teachers, but we don't have quality math teachers. And I don't know if there's any other thing that I've left. I've tried to cover as many as I can. But then can I also indicate that we have a report on the impact of 1+4. So perhaps what we could then do, instead of trying to provide the details, we can then say we can forward it to the committee. That the impact report
Thank you, Honourable Chair. In respect of the Honourable Vassan asked for information regarding the remodeling of national assessments and the ANA, we need to indicate that in terms of this, we're talking of a new model of national assessment that will take what we refer to as three tiers, and the first being systemic assessment, which is basically looking at a sample in grades 3, 6, and 9, that would probably occur in administered in 2018, as we've had agreement with unions who have supported that. Some we'll do a pilot of the test items in September, October. And in respect of the areas regarding diagnostic assessment and summative, there will be a meeting next week in 9th and 10th with unions to look at reaching agreement in that respect. And I think before the end of June, we need to finalize that going forward for the plans in 2019 and 20. I do not want to say more about that, but we'll be accused of bad faith as if we've taken decisions already by the trade union. But that's in respect of ANA, which is now we talk of national assessments. The Honourable Nguni wanted information on the leaks in the Limpopo. With respect to the adult that was charged, some delay in that they needed to appoint a new prosecutor, so the case would not have that been done. So that should move forward and we should have them appearing in court. With regard to learners, hearings being set down and they should be completed together with the sanctions being finalized by the end of May. Some of this have been delayed due to unavailability of some of the learners. And then I think the Honourable Chair referred to the QLTC and its effectiveness or lack of effectiveness. I think we've reported in the past that the QLTC in certain areas has worked well, in others it hasn't and has not even been launched. But the Minister has herself convened two meetings with social partners who have committed or recommitted to supporting the campaign. And I think in the next 2 months we could come back to the committee with a report in that respect, as the meetings of the minister are discussing how to, where it's not worked well, to look at how we could ensure that it does, and where it's working well to continue the support in that respect. So I think what remains a challenge is the lack of budget. Thank you.
The question of incentives, the legal incentives. I think that the first part we must clarify is we have a policy. The policy is not a rural incentive policy. The policy is called incentive policy. It is covering all major rural incentives. It covers all the speech schools. It covers rural incentives. It covers case levels. So those are the three key areas that have been identified that you didn't give any sense to. Now, the funding of it is in the budget. The problem is last is that there is no money that we have given. When this policy was promulgated in 2008, the NTBF statement of that year reflects the money that has been allocated for this incentive policy, and it's in the line budget that each year gets adjusted. The problem with the amount that was allocated is that initially there was no update from the promises because there was context on the side of the union that didn't want the policy with incentives. So they don't want to divide in the teachers that some need and others don't need. And clearly, incentives are exactly that. They are meant to incentivize the way this current policy is, scarce skill subjects. So if you are in a school and you don't offer the scarce skill, you will not be getting it because you don't get scarce skill. You know, you are not teaching scarce skill subjects. In the same way, that the challenge in most of the provinces came from the rural allowance in the interpretation of that policy. Now the challenge that they were receiving, especially like a very rural province now, how do you define rurality? You know, what makes up that? And then if it is that a lot of these teachers now meet that criteria, how are you going to do this with your money? Because there's a set budget at stake. And I think that essentially has been the biggest challenge, that most of the provinces that identified rural incentives, the policy says that you have to go into the PELRC and determine the criteria. Now, in the PELRC, they tend to agree on a criteria that is talking about business. I don't know why they go for that option, but it seems like it's a favorite option. I think it might be informed by the thinking around the point of the result. Be that as it may, that's how it has happened. So when you go for distance, the main problem of distance is that there will always be that group, you know, that teacher that is just in the school next door to the school where you are. So I think it's a 300, a maximum raise of 300 from the district office. The one that is 299 is the one that's falling out. And I think the complaints come from there. So what we've been trying to do is we have written a concept paper which is, the work is ongoing and we have tried to take a broader approach with a view to revising this incentive policy. Because clearly, we can see that, you know, like you gave all the complaints as the committee, so we also get the complaints. And in the ELRC, it's hot on this topic, because there's always a fight around why the provinces have put this kind of point of distance. So, in our way of looking at the incentive now, and if we have to revise that policy, I think given the budget constraints that the provinces and the VDE will always be faced with, given how things go with the national treasury and the budget cuts, we are looking at having a collaborative approach beyond just the money possibly. So that if it is about money, you don't keep it in education, because clearly we don't have all the money. So some of the things we have looked at is, for instance, how can you put together housing for teachers? And we are working with the Department of Development on that one. So that as they are looking at providing housing, they look at putting housing in rural areas to begin to accommodate for some of these things that become an incentive. It's not something that is a quick solution, because even in human settlements, they have lots of pressures and challenges there. We've also worked with the Department of Health around developing how we pool resources together, because schools and clinics need to go together. So if you need nurses to get out there for an incentive policy for providing health, can't we pool together? How do you use cards? Or how do you look at having a possibility of having a car become an incentive, you know, that you can get a subsidized car or something like that. But all of these things, it's in a concept document we have, but it's still work that we are developing. We have got as far as having an interdepartmental task force to tighten up on some of the ideas that we have there. And when we are ready on that, we will then be able to revise the policy to bring in these new incentives to satisfy some of the needs. Thank you.
Rupert, if you would just explain the issue of somewhat conflicting information between completed schools and schools to be electrified and raised by Honorable Machisa.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable members, there is a table where we have indicated the information that we had as at the end of March 2017, and we're still in the process of verifying the evidence. There's a difference between the 306 that's in the table and the 307 that's in the narrative. So I apologize for that, but the indication now at the same time is that the amount actually is 306. We're still, like the other information, still verifying the data. And as soon as we report on quarter four for this, but also other annual targets, we will clarify in terms of the things that we have for provision. So there's a difference of one school in terms of electrification indicated in the narrative versus the table. The indications are the 306 that are in the table at the moment. That's how much evidence we've got. Thank you.
I hope Honorable Machisa got the response. This was the response that we gave to the question. The CFO will also just deal with the issue of environment and reconciliation, which was raised earlier on.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. There was a question by Honorable Basson about the spending on workbook secondaries and so forth. As indicated in the presentation, the expenditure seemed a bit low as per the report, but for workbooks specifically, we received the invoices in January. So in the fourth quarter, we will see the increased expenditure, but for other activities as well, the expenditure increased in the fourth quarter. And then the one of the environment, I didn't get it correctly, but we do apply environment according to legislation. We are allowed to shift not more than 8% between pools by Honorable Mokoto, slide 144. It's not duplication. Maybe the slide was not, the information was not captured correctly. Conditional grant should have been bold so that it can show the heading. The amount that is shown at the top, the 5.2 million, is the portion that is kept by the department for monitoring of the MST grant and any other activities that are related to the grant that are done by the department. The one at the bottom, the 362 million, is the portion that is transferred to the provinces to implement the MST grant. And then the issue of the furniture allocation, we do not, the department does not procure furniture for the schools. The only time we procure furniture is when we build ACD schools, and that is not reflected separately because it's part of the school that is built, so it's not reflected separately. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I'm sure it was just a comment from Honorable Basson that textbooks are outdated. The research conducted by Microsoft has indicated that the success of any learning depends on a complementary approach to both digital and traditional text content. You discard traditional text, you do it at your own peril. I've seen it in first world countries like Germany, Italy, and others. They still use ICT, but they still use traditional text. Yeah, Dr. Wei is reminding me that it's also called, I think, in Asian countries, they do it a lot, the blended approach to learning, both digital and traditional text. I've warned Gauteng with all the good things that they are doing, that the perception should not be driven that textbooks are no longer important, traditional texts. And they seem to have taken heed of that because it's supported by research. Honorable Basson, I'll have to talk to the Northern Cape and find out who are these officials who are responsible for tracking dropout rates and so on, so that we try and meet your outcry. Who were assigned the responsibility of the NSLE? So I'll talk to the Northern Cape and find out about that. The workbook expenditure has been explained. 1+4, Dr. Mawuya responded to that. Anna, Mr. Padayaki responded to that. The presentation also contains the reconfigured ANA, systemic assessment, diagnostic assessment, and systemic assessment, as explained by Mr. Padayaki. Mr. Mguni will get the 1 out of 9 provinces which did not participate in the Albert Mthuli program. So we'll get that information. Is there time for sports? I thought there is. I thought the passion that I saw oozing from Honorable Machaisa indicated that if we don't seem to find time, we should create time. Schools that continue to participate in extramural activities do create time. But Chair, let me seize this opportunity to say, as much as it is our responsibility to provide for this service, it is also the responsibility of public representatives from civil society mobilization point of view. When Honorable Machaisa was speaking, I also recalled my school days. Wednesdays of every week were sports. Everything would come to a stop. Wednesdays, sometimes Fridays, from one end of the area to another end of the area. It was also driven by communities who would put pressure on schools to take heed of the importance of sports. But needless to point out that physical education education is also part of our curriculum. But I do concede that the level of participation is not where it should be. And I must also remind this committee that I'm told, I don't know how reliable this is, that South Africa is teetering on the edges of becoming also a capital of obesity. The US used to lead in obesity. Better Life also presents itself in all kinds of things, including obesity. Because children just sit in front of the TV without any movement, eat a lot of junk food and other things with no involvement in physical activities and so on. And increasingly we are breeding an obese nation. Honorable Mguni, Dr. Mabuya responded to this one of the maths, but let me also seize this opportunity. All learners in South Africa, unlike when I was attending school, are obligated to do some form of mathematics. All learners in South Africa are offered some form of mathematics. We now have three forms of mathematics. Mathematics, which is core mathematics, and there is mathematical literacy, which is mathematics for social use, for consumption. And then you have technical mathematics, which is mathematics to support vocational education. I can say with absolute certainty that these three forms of mathematics are offered in this country, and we are commended by our counterparts internationally for delivering a curriculum that ensures that no learner leaves the system without being exposed to some form of mathematics. So that is taking place. Whether we have enough teachers or not, the practitioners who are responsible for training teachers, initial teacher education, and continuing teacher education are saying we've gone past the chronic stage of shortage of teachers. But we do need teachers for certain phases and for some of the subjects, including African languages that are beginning to emerge, your BCM subjects, also business studies, economics and accounting. Those are areas that are becoming more in need. So, but I've been assured that we've not gone back to the chronic state of shortages in math. I was actually shocked and comforted at the same time, Chair, in a recent meeting that I attended recently, to learn the US, the UK, moaning that they desperately need math and science teachers. For all these years, our teachers have been attracted to the UK in particular, Canada and so on. But those countries are also saying they experience a huge shortage of math and science. So I said we are all in this together. So we just have to learn to work together. I think Honorable Machez, again, the record tracking system, I'm not sure whether you are referring to the LURIT system that you are using.
Yeah, so let me call it. You can't make this minute so empty. You know, whenever I say Honorable Machez, now he thinks
you are I'm sorry about that. My profuse apologies. I hope they are accepted. Well, we are monitoring the dropout rates. And as indicated, there are various ways of monitoring it. One of the measures through which we monitor is the analysis of the the survey that is done by SSA and then analyzed by our researchers and analysts in the department. We also monitor that through this regular data that comes through SSMs to track progression, and then but we use the LURID system, which is dedicated to really giving an account of the data of the learners that we have in the system. That's the system that we have. Our dropout rate has improved. No, throughput rate, not dropout rate. Dropout rate is still between 14% and 16%, the official test. Not this one, this the analysis done by intellectuals who I don't know where they get the information from. But the official one is the last research is between 14% and 16%. And then the throughput rate improved from 30% to 56%, which is in par with developing countries like Turkey, many other developing countries. We've actually, in fact, overtaken that because they are at 42% and so on. And Dr. Mabuya explained the issue of the grant from Treasure. The grant, the policy has been put out for public comment. I'm sure it's been finalized. The funding is not for that. The funding is for the grant, is to carry out activities that the court, through a case which involved the Western Cape provincial government and national government. And then the court said to us, we need to dedicate resources to make sure that we provide for learners with profoundly intellectual disabilities. So it's not for the policy, it's for activities. And most of these centers are actually managed by social development. So education has got to come in there to make sure that these learners receive education. Now this time I think I'm right. Honorable Mchaisa, is it right? Yeah. From Matatia. The one issue, IQMS was just a comment, and we appreciate that. Admission online, PDE. Yes, indeed, in their communication, they've also indicated that throughout the entire province, every district and every education office, there are officials who are trained to assist parents who are not e-illiterate. E-illiterate with E, not I, who cannot use ICT, to be able to get into the system and load the information that is required. So there is that effort by the Housing Department. In fact, we are watching the implementation of the system quite closely. Sooner or later, we might sell it to all the other 8 provinces. It seems to be the best system so far to follow. Honorable Mokoto, I thought slide 144 has been responded to by the CFO, and then including school furniture. The memorandum of agreement signed with ESCOM had to do with schools. We call them, they are called last mile connectivity, where the bulk infrastructure is there, you just need to connect to the school. And we're not moving as fast as we should. These meetings that I refer to of every week included ESCOM there, reporting regularly on the progress that they are making. So this memorandum of agreement was about those schools. Does training include management and leadership? Yes, indeed, it does. We are targeting principals, deputy principals, and HODs to focus on leadership and management. Honorable Kina, where should we begin? Better and closure of schools. Well, I thought the South African Schools Act is very clear on where should we start and what is it that we need to do. My only humble constructive criticism is that we tend to make a lot of noise and very little activity on the ground. using my own experience, in the Northwest, we just quietly merged and closed schools. And we just followed the act, issued the notice, but I've seen what provinces are doing, they go on a fanfare. They put it on the newspaper, they put it on the radios. Now sleeping dogs are waking up, and Section 27, equal education, then come and muddy waters. When you should have just swiftly moved, follow the law, and do the right thing, and then get up. And the issue of, I agree with you that we also need to plan properly. There are instances where provinces just close schools without providing learner transport. In the meetings that I had with provincial district officials and school principals, we have addressed this matter. We have a multidisciplinary team led by Dr. Maboye. One of the things that they are monitoring is that when the provinces share their plans with them, that these are the schools that they are going to measure. As part of what they need to tick is whether learner transport is provided, accommodation, all the necessities, so that when schools are merged and closed, you don't go back to what you found for oversight previously. And I also agree that incentives should not only be monetary. There should be other incentives, like Ms. Keia correctly indicated, we are looking at a basket of incentives, you know, teacher quotas, other incentives, etc., etc. MST, I agree with you that we shouldn't be understanding that, but truth be told, if you look back, 2016-17 is our best performance for all these years. We've improved. And I'm sure the fourth quarterly report will indicate that. There's been an improvement. I'm not happy. I'll be happy with 100%. But there has been an improvement. Okay. I think I've spoken to sports. My view is that it would require all of us. I do accept that we are not doing as much as would be expected to do in sports, but I can only say it takes the whole village to raise our children. It involves everybody, public representatives, members of civil society. One of the major challenges, we should not wait for people to come up with things like something of sport and so on. It's transformation in sports. We talked about that. We are still a divided sector. There are still historically white schools that are running white sports, and historically black schools are still running so-called perceived mainly black schools subscribed sports, and that we need to deal with. It's our responsibility. We have not done much. I must accept that up front. It's a task and an assignment that we need to carry it out. I'm raising it so that if it comes from some quarters, when somebody says, for instance, historically white schools are still doing their own thing, historically black schools are also doing their own thing, please know that we are woefully aware of that. We are working with the Department of Sports and Recreation and even associations try and make sure that we bring about transformation in sports. And the Department of Sports and Recreation seems to have a vision, and we have to be led by them in this regard. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much,
Archie.
And our colleagues from DBE for giving clear responses to our questions. Honorable members, can I check if
not sure if we should do the follow-ups now, so I was reluctant to put up my hand. We're running out of time. I wonder if we could continue tomorrow, because I think we will have the DG here in the morning.
Definitely. That's also continue. As I said, most of the things that you're discussing now will be over at minimum to the APC. But if ever, just like one of my children, she wants to do that now.
No, I'm saying I'm okay with that. Oh,
you can do that well, unfortunately. We didn't care if you're teaching that. So, thank you very much then, honorable members. I know the day was long. We started this term in a very high gear. I know we're not even used to sit so long to see people shaking cities. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for the day. Let's go and keep it for tomorrow. Let's start together like this tomorrow, to be not very good. But it's the same thing. Same time, 9:30, not here, but at least tomorrow I have a one presentation at 8:00 p.m. It just depends on our discussion to how far we go with our day. But otherwise, thank you very much for going to be for tomorrow.
I want the name of the delegation from the department, please.
DBE delegation is you get from.
That is in the corner, let's just show you the one that's sitting.
Yeah.
Get it from us. I've got it. I need to get my list.
You want to jot down?
I'll just jot down there by your side and take your list away from you. And that's cool.
Here we go.
Give it back to me before you leave.
No, well, I meant like lemon.
Are you guys at all muddying the waters yet?
Yeah, we're muddying the waters. Good. I had a good chat about that. I just mean more like, just so that I let you know the venues and stuff. I don't know if you have that document before. But Renee will let me know this morning really about you, so
okay.
Just you and Renee and Leanne, and then after that, like, let me know, like, if I should send waves, I should text you, whatever.
Okay.
Bye.
Who's the DG?
The DG.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I wish I could make up with him.
Thank you.
Okay, let me first check with you.
I hope I will get
the jungle of the night.
Oh,
I hope. Do
you see the list? Yeah, do you need it right now? You see, the problem is that you guys have a and you won't be here tomorrow. But finish up,
don't
time.
You
finish
have
up.
Entrance?
Al Brown at Parliament, yeah.
Al
Brown.
Brown
at Parliament. That's you, that I get it.
Of course, then I can get the electronic documents from you and let's see.
And I can scan that.
And you can scan
it
and send it to you. Don't have to wait.
Do me a big favor. Just mail me tonight.
Yeah.
Or early tomorrow morning.
I will.
I'll probably do it early in the, when I get to the office around 7 o'clock.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
You?
Much appreciated to your store.
Okay, no. Can I consult with you? I'm getting something
done. Yeah.
Thank you.
from Cape Town to Dodge, or from?
Thank you very much.
No, no, I think I'll find my town. On Friday, from Cape Town, it has to be from George to Cape Town or from George to Johannesburg. Oh, but how did you plan this? Why didn't you separate it?
Rashad is back. Have other offices closed? I just got to the door now from my meeting. Okay, cool. Thanks. Yeah, I will go. I thought you guys had left, so I'll just walk back. Cool. I'll be downstairs in half a minute.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, bye. Well, I can still come earlier and do that if that's okay.
Yeah, but
okay.
I mean, there's no need to go up. I can take this company in a rush, but it's entirely a choice.
Yeah. So okay, because okay. So I have a meeting a little bit later, so I'll leave now and come earlier and do that.
Yeah, you just give me your recordings and documents.
Cool.
Put it at one side.
Cool. Can just do all of that, eh?
Cool.
Oh, but then I might as well have come up with you. Let's see. Now, the parliamentary secretary moved the recording. He came to tell me he moved it. So I'm hoping that he didn't press, because this thing is so delicate that when you press it, so he might have sort of, I'm hoping that's not the case, but anyway,
Can you send me all the electronic documents this evening or later in the morning?
Yeah, you can complete the paperwork tomorrow as well. So just make sure you have enough time before it gets transferred to Pumza.
Yeah, it's pretty much complete. What do you need of this? You need
just one document.
Just one document.
Yeah, I prefer you when you
just
like
finish
you
it.
Hand it in to Pumza. Like here,
okay.
The attendance needs to be done as well.
Who was? Okay, cool.
Etc. So, just put one side in my office and then. You can keep that
back easily. Yeah, because I want to finish this list tonight and send it to you tomorrow morning.
Okay, that's fine.
I want to have it left to you by tomorrow morning. And you say you're sitting at 12 would be a good time to get here?
Yeah, you'll take over at about 12:45, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. About this, I'll be here. Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Good evening.
You too.
What time are you working for?
Probably maybe 7. Yeah. Okay.